Well, hello everyone. This is Stephen Cohen for episode 22 of the podcast Quantitative Investigations. This episode we are going to deal with the presidential debate that happened on June 27th, 2024. That's right, between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. This For those of you who've been paying attention, even the Democrats have all but conceded that Joe Biden lost the debate. Some polls I've seen, Trump won 2-1. I don't really care. And I'll tell you why I don't really care. I didn't watch the whole debate. I watched it on 45 minutes, but I am not impressed with Donald Trump's performance. I have never been impressed with Donald Trump's performance as a debater. And that's because he's actually better than the way he debates. But we'll get to that. As far as Joe Biden goes, anyone who couldn't see what was going to happen had their heads in the sand. And we're going to get to that also. But what we're also going to cover is what the Democrats actually did to the American Democrat voter, those people who participated in the primaries. They're about to, or they're considering doing something that is so ethically and morally repugnant that it should actually be, and it's not illegal, but it should be, but it really is a slap in the face to the Democratic voter. We'll get to that. First, I want to talk about Donald Trump. Like I said, I've never liked the way he debated. He's a street fighter. And when you're debating someone, you need to shed the street fighter persona. It doesn't work. It makes you look stupid. I'm sorry. When someone tells me that, you know, they've had the greatest economy ever, or, you know, we've done the greatest job, we had the greatest military ever, I just think to myself, no, you're just the greatest bloviator moron ever. That's all it says to me. And no one believes this stuff. He talks, when he says he's the greatest, or we've done this, we've done that, you know, he actually thinks that people believe that. Some people might, but I think Americans are extraordinarily cynical of politicians. They're not going to give a darn about whether this guy thinks he's the greatest. When you're debating, the best way to shut, and I'm an expert debater. Nah, that's a lie. I'm not an expert debater. I never really, quote unquote, formally debated. But I have participated in hearings. I have had contentious conversations or challenging conversations with people with diametrically opposed views. And I know this. The quickest way to shut somebody down is to present the facts. See, I know when I debate someone, I know right away whether they know anything, because it's so obvious. I mean, I learn about topics, and those of you listening to this podcast know that I've been surprised when I present information. I've been surprised on what I found out in some cases, like Roe v. Wade. I didn't know half the stuff before I actually looked into it. Most people don't know anything about what they're arguing. I had a stepbrother just tell me, yeah, I believe in climate change. I know for a fact that this guy doesn't even understand what climate is. Most people do not understand what climate is. So when I'm debating these people, I just torch them because they have no facts. Donald Trump had all the facts. And what he should have done was just spent a little time rehearsing the facts. For example, the question about January 6th. Right, the question about January 6th. Donald Trump's answer should have been, well, didn't I authorize 10,000 National Guard troops? Didn't Nancy Pelosi decline that offer, which she actually admitted in a televised interview? She actually admitted that that was a mistake. I might have that a little bit wrong, but she did admit that she declined it. Didn't the sergeant at arms of the Capitol Police, of the United States Capitol, who passed away, he declined it. That's a known fact. Didn't the FBI have informants in some of the groups that were protesting, which they did? Didn't the FBI actually have agents inside the Capitol before the protesters came in, which they did? And did the FBI ever tell me anything that they knew what was going on? No. They didn't say anything. Didn't the Capitol Police let protesters in? Yes, they did. This is all he has to say. And I'm sure there are more facts you could have recited. These are facts. These are indisputable. That's all he has to say. And he ends it with saying, I did absolutely nothing wrong. I did not incite violence. These are the facts. The contributory negligence is clearly on Nancy Pelosi, the sergeant at arms, the FBI, and the Capitol Police. Oh, yeah. Didn't the Capitol Police shoot an unarmed protester and kill her, Ashley Babbitt? Yes. Was that person ever brought to justice? No. If that person was a police officer who shot a black person or a woman, a pregnant woman, let's say, that police officer would have been fired and sent to prison. The jury is actually still out on whether or not Derek Chauvin actually killed George Floyd. The jury is still out on that. Right? He actually may have died from a drug overdose. Somewhere along the line, that truth hopefully will come out. If that is the truth. I mean, if Derek Chauvin did kill him, well, then he deserves what he got. Because although George Floyd was a criminal, he didn't necessarily deserve to die that day. But if he died from a drug overdose while in police custody, yeah, Derek Chauvin is going to be a very rich man from that lawsuit. You know, let's talk about Joe Biden's comment about him being a convicted felon. Donald Trump, all Donald Trump had to say was, oh, you mean, isn't it true that the indictment against me was unconstitutional because it didn't delineate a crime? Isn't it true that Judge Juan Merchan violated my civil rights because he didn't allow me to produce witnesses to my own benefit? Didn't Judge Juan Merchan violate my constitutional rights by silencing me unjustifiably? I mean, that's all he has to say. And then he can go on to say regarding the conviction, isn't it true that your administration, colluded with the New York City District Attorney, a.k.a. Matthew Colangelo, to actually fake these charges? When it comes to the question of, will you accept the results? All Donald Trump had to do was turn to the Jake Tapper and Dana Bash and say, you're asking me this question? Really? When the big guy colluded with the FBI to coerce Facebook, Instagram, Google in suppressing the Hunter Biden laptop story, which in turn suppressed the Donald Trump vote, isn't that something worth asking? What about all the times that Democrats have vehemently and violently protested election results? 2000, 2004, 2016. Democrats do this all the time. Yet you're asking me if I'm going to accept the results of this election? And I'll tell you where you can stick that question. That's all he has to say. These are facts. Indisputable. I mean, and Biden wouldn't know what to do. He'd have no answer because he's guilty of some of these things. And Democrats are guilty of all these things. He wouldn't know what to do. He wouldn't have an answer. Instead, occasionally Donald Trump did produce some facts. For example, he did mention the 51 traitors who signed this false letter saying that Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation. I'm hoping that when Donald Trump wins, he'll actually arrest, indict, and throw those people in jail. For a long time, they're traitors. They're seditionists. They sought to overthrow an administration, and they did it. They successfully did it. All he had to do he did produce some facts, but the way he produced them was in such a disjointed manner that he lost the cohesiveness. He's smarter than this, but he is a crappy debater. He really is. With all the name calling and bloviating, there are people out there who can tear him apart. Tear him apart. Especially when you get to matters of the economy, which he really knows nothing about. I'm sorry. He does not understand how our economy works. Or I should say, I take that back. He doesn't understand how our federal budget works. He still has no inkling, or no inclination, I should say, to cut spending. And he's fooling himself. And he's fooling every other Republican who's right behind him. I'm voting for him. Because again, I'll never vote for a Democrat again for as long as I live. But he's not fooling me one bit. He does not understand government finance. You guys have all heard me say this before. It really gets me angry. So that's what I think about Donald Trump's performance. Everyone's giving him rah, rah, rah. But quite frankly, he was debating someone with the mental capacity of maybe a teenager at this point. Which really brings me to what the Democrats did. So the Democrats, during the primaries, they squeezed RFK Jr. out. I don't quite know how they did it. I could research that. But they did. They had a few other folks like Jill Stein and Marianne Williams or Williamson, I think. These people were going nowhere. They didn't really have... Like RFK Jr. was probably the biggest threat to Joe Biden, and somehow they squeezed him out. So the voters were left really, the Democrat primary voters were really left with no choice. They really had to vote for Joe Biden. Now, does anyone listening to this podcast think that Joe Biden's family or his donors or his handlers were unaware of his mental decline? Does anybody really believe that they were completely unaware? Because that's what the press and that's what the politicians are acting like. Oh, you know, some politicians. Oh, he had a bad day. Barack Obama. Oh, he had a bad day. No, he didn't have a bad day. And they all knew he didn't have a bad day. His mental decline has been obvious. Obvious to the rest of the world. It's been obvious for a long time. It was obvious in 2020. So what these people did, right, they squeezed out the person who was the biggest threat to Joe Biden, RFK Jr. Now, just as an aside, I've heard people say, yeah, RFK Jr. is a good, you know, median person between Trump and Biden. No, he's not. He's a leftist. He is a leftist. And we're going to get into him. So they squeezed out RFK Jr. Joe Biden wins. And he's doing his thing. He has a State of the Union address, which he was pretty, looked like he was pretty energetic. I'm not going to purport or purvey the rumors that he was on some kind of caffeine drug or something. I'm not going to go down that road. But he was definitely energetic at the State of the Union. But so he has his debate performance. And you don't even have to listen to Republicans bash him. The Democrats did it all themselves. Does anyone really believe that the Democrat donors, Biden's handlers, thought that he was actually going to perform well? Does anybody out there who's listening to this podcast really believe that? No. He had 16, debate preppers. He spent a week prepping. They knew this was going to be an unmitigated disaster. But the whole time he was president, and you can go back and search on, you can go back and search on comments from like Mayorkas, and KJP, Karine Jean-Pierre, and others that he's sharp. Yeah, he's young staffers can't keep up with him. That kind of thing. All this nonsense that anyone with half a brain knew was false. But the news media, the liberal media was purveying this garbage. Everybody knew he was in mental decline. Which does beg the question, who is actually running the country? Because it is clearly not Joe Biden. And this is actually a serious constitutional issue. So he has this debate performance, and the podiums weren't even cold before the Democrats started saying, "Well, we got to replace him. We have to replace him. We have to replace him." Okay. So imagine this now. Imagine this: you're a Democrat voter, you voted for Joe Biden. All the time knowing that Joe Biden's handlers, donors, the people on the inside knew that he was a complete mental case. That he was that his brain was shot. All the time knowing this. So they prop up this guy. Tens of millions of people vote for Joe Biden, and now they're going to pull him, or they're going to consider doing it. I still don't think they're actually going to do it. Because I don't know who else they'd put in. They can't put in Kamala Harris. I mean, no one likes her. She didn't even win California, which is her state, when she was running for president. She couldn't even win her own state. Okay, for those who are out there, I shouldn't be saying that, because Donald Trump didn't win his own state when when he won in 2016. or in 2020. But who are they going to put up? But whoever they put up is going to be unelected. So the voters who voted for Joe Biden get the shaft. They get the shaft. They voted for this guy, and now the Democrats are going to consider pulling him. Let alone, I don't think they're really going to pull him. I don't think they can. I don't think there's a mechanism for getting a new candidate on the ballots of every state starting in August. I don't know. I'd have to look up what the requirements are for getting folks on the ballots in every state. But I mean, you have to have signatures in every state to get on the ballot. unless there's some provision, if there's a death, an illness, someone has to resign or retire. I don't know. Maybe there's some loophole where you can replace a candidate. I don't know. The only time I know this happened was, was it Michael Dukakis who ran for Senate because the Senate candidate, the Democratic candidate, died in a plane crash? I could have that wrong. But anyway, I haven't heard this happening too much. I mean, the last few times when someone has died during an election, they were still on the ballot. And in some cases, the dead person won. I think that happened in Pennsylvania. Maybe Philadelphia. But I don't know if it can happen with the president. Because, I mean, let's say the president dies 2 days before the election. And he's on let's say a presidential candidate, dies 2 days before the election. That guy's still going to be on the ballot. I guess what happens is the Senate or Congress has to vote for president. I guess that's what may happen. I should read the Constitution on that. So I don't know if they can actually physically replace him. But there's a lot of talk about it. And again, the podiums weren't even cold before that talk started. And it's disgusting. Because it's really a violation of the civil rights of those people who voted for Biden. Or who voted at all, but who voted for Biden. Because they all knew that he was not going to be able to handle these debates. They knew it. They knew it. They knew he was going to crash and burn. Which is why I'm disappointed with so many people are praising Trump, because Trump did not have what I would consider to be a good debate. He did not have a good debate. I think Mitt Romney's first debate with Barack Obama was much better. I think Mitt Romney was a much better debater than Donald Trump. That's not to say that I agree with Mitt Romney on where he stands on things, but I think he was a better debater. But be that as it may, it's a huge problem for the Democrats. I think it's repugnant in what they're doing. I think putting him up there to run again for a second term, that was a ridiculous decision by Biden and his family. Now, I'm not even sure if Biden had much to do with it. I'm guessing Joe Biden had more to do with it, because clearly he was not in the shape to do it. He had one term, should have just let him retire. But they want the power. And Joe Biden always has. But, it's disgusting. Because they're really screwing the Biden voter. And they're going to just put somebody in there who's unelected. How is that a democratic republic? You have a primary? Oh, wait, we don't like this guy. He's not going to win. So we're going to pull him and put somebody else in. And to think that they really didn't know that he had these problems is ridiculous. These people truly are stupid or evil. I'm going for stupid. Anyway, getting RFK Jr. I actually heard some interviews with RFK Jr. I thought this guy was a lot better than he really is. But his views are, I'm not going to say radical, but I just think more than childish. So I'm looking at his website right now, going through the issues. One of them is end the forever wars. He has a paragraph about Ukraine. It reads, "We first must get clear. Is our mission to help the brave Ukrainians defend their sovereignty, or is it to use Ukraine as a pawn to weaken Russia?" Kennedy would choose the first, meaning to help the Ukrainians defend their sovereignty. And how are we going to do that? We will find a diplomatic solution that brings peace to Ukraine and brings our resources back where they belong. we will offer to withdraw our troops and nuclear-capable missiles from Russia's borders. Russia will withdraw its troops from Ukraine and guarantee its freedom and independence. Really? That's your position? You're going to deal with Putin and just say, play nice? That's your position? It's one of the stupidest things I've ever read. And this guy's supposed to be smart? No. Putin actually just said he's not giving back any of Ukraine's territory. And he has threatened every other border country, or most of them. He's going to take Ukraine if he can. And he's going to continue, I think, into Moldova. That's kind of what I think. We can't let Putin win because he's just like every other tyrant. This is Hitler and the Sudetenland all over again. You're going to give him Ukraine and then, he's going to play nice? No, he won't. He's a dictator. He's a tyrant. These people don't play nice. They don't care. The only way, actually, Ukraine is going to win is if the United States gets directly involved with our Air Force. That's not a popular position. I don't care. It's a fact. The Ukrainians are just not going to... I don't think the Ukrainians are going to be able to win this war on their own with our supplies. I mean, don't forget, the United States did not win the American Revolution by itself. The knockout punch came from France. The French Navy defeated the British Navy right near Yorktown at the mouth of the Chesapeake Bay and bombarded the British in Yorktown. American and French forces then invaded certain redoubts that were near the British positions, which enabled them to bombard them with mortars and other artillery. The French helped us. Similarly, we are going to need to use our Air Force and possibly our Navy to knock the Russians out of Ukraine. And I'm sorry, but the Russian military is not this vaunted military, not the way the Ukrainians have taken it to them. Russians have lost over 300,000 troops. What we really need to do, in addition to providing direct military intervention, we need to make sure we put whatever economic screws we could on Putin. The best thing we can do is actually start drilling oil and gas and drive the price of oil and gas down so it really eats into Russia's economy, because the Russians, stupidly, because of their dictators, they don't have, they have a very limited economy. It's based on natural resources. Uranium, oil, gas. I don't know what else they have. I think I've said this on a previous podcast. I mean, the Russians are smart people. You know, don't forget, they were the first ones to launch a satellite. They were the first ones to put a man in space. They did develop some of the best battle tanks in World War II, and they're tough when they are singularly focused, which they are not right now. We start destroying the Russian troops and hardware in Ukraine and start putting the screws to their economy. The Russian people are going to be so pissed, they're going to give Putin the Mussolini treatment. That's what they're going to do. But that's what we need to do. We need to directly intervene into Ukraine. And if we don't, if we let the Russians win, history has already shown us what happens. And it's not just Hitler in the Sudetenland. It's the Chinese in Tibet. It's the Vikings in Normandy. It goes on and on and on. Appeasement never brings peace. It just brings tragedy for those who are forced to pay. So let's get on to some of other RF Kennedy's stupidity. This guy is a moron. All right. People who work hard should be able to afford a good life. He's griping that the middle class is getting squeezed. Meanwhile, when Trump was in office, a lot of the tax cuts went to the middle class. But in his, here is what Kennedy will do to make that a reality. Raise the minimum wage to $15. Okay. This is a typical Democrat talking point, and this is why Democrat leadership are just morons. They're just stupid. Because we all know what happens when you raise the minimum wage. For starting decades ago, I started hearing about this stuff in the 90s, 1990s. Europe would do this, would raise the minimum wage of fast food workers to $25 an hour. What would they do? They would automate. They would fire workers. There'd be less jobs. How stupid can you be? I've read around, let me see. I'm going to pull up some articles. Restaurants closing in California. In California. Who's closing in California? Because for fast food workers, major restaurant chains that have closed down locations. This is June 6, 2024. The fast food worker minimum wage is $20 an hour. Let's see. This is a Forbes article. Again, June 6th, D-Day, 2024. TGI Fridays, Mod Pizza, Outback Steakhouse, Applebee's cited underperformance as the main reason for closing certain locations. They are strategically shuttering stores. Other chains like Boston Market, Red Lobster, Tijuana Flats have closed locations due to severe financial troubles, unpaid bills, landlord disputes, and even bankruptcy filings. Their closures are directly tied to efforts to cut costs and restructure amid problems. Denny specifically cited inflation-related challenges. Restaurant closures. So this article has completely not proven my point. let me see. Hold on a second. I'm going to have to find another article because I've seen one. Okay. Let me see. Mod Pizza confirmed 26 restaurant closures of underperforming locations in the first quarter. Although five of those cullings took place in California, Van Warner made clear that the state's new minimum wage law was not responsible. That's interesting. That is interesting. So I know. All right, I'm going to go back to the drawing board. Just try something else. Wage. All right. New York Post, June 6th, 2024. 10,000 jobs. California fast food restaurants have cut 10,000 jobs thanks to state's $20 minimum wage. This is according to a trade group. California fast food restaurants have slashed nearly 10,000 jobs because of state's new $20 minimum wage, as struggling franchises cut labor costs and raise prices to survive. The California Business and Industrial Alliance slammed Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom for pushing through the law. Okay, 10,000 jobs. You keep pushing up the minimum wage, the job losses are going to keep going. I mean, this is exactly what happens when unions start trying to unreasonably ask for wages. What the companies are going to do is either raise prices and or cut jobs and automate. Fast food workers need to be careful about what they ask for, or in English, for what they ask. And it goes on. I mean, we know eventually that robots are going to be cleaning rooms in hotels. We know that for a fact at some point. I'd rather not see that. So let me see. Prosecute union-busting corporations so that labor can organize and negotiate fair wages. No, they're not going to organize. They're not going to negotiate fair wages. They're going to negotiate exorbitant wages. At one point, unions were definitely needed. Now they are not. He wants to drop housing costs, by fiat, drop housing costs by $1,000 per family and make home ownership affordable by backing 3% mortgages with tax-free bonds. This guy just wants to just take over industry. He's an idiot. None of this would actually work. As a matter of fact, the whole prospect of a minimum wage is unconstitutional. Why does the federal government get to say what companies can pay their employees? Why? When does that happen? Now, I will certainly admit that it might have been needed at some point. But the fact of the matter is, you get rid of the minimum wage and you let actual competition take over, what will happen is wages will drop and people will actually have to survive on those wages, will actually be forced to get better jobs, train themselves, get better jobs. And then at some point, wages will start going up because it'll be harder to find people. This happened in Williston, Montana, during the Bakken shale explosion. So many people went to the oil fields and gas fields. There weren't enough people to work in the Walmarts. So they started raising salaries to entice people to work in Walmart. That's organic wage growth. That's the way it's supposed to happen. It's called competition. That's the other genius. It's we the people, not we the corporations. Yes. Our food is unhealthy because Big Ag controls the Department of Agriculture, right? Middle class is being decimated because Wall Street controls the Federal Reserve. That's not true. The Treasury and the SEC. We have Janet Yellen, Ms. This inflation is transitory. Yeah, she knows what she's doing. She's our Treasury Secretary. The SEC, I've heard some of those conspiracy theories before, but the SEC has bigger problems and unreasonable mandates like the woke agenda in order to list stocks on the New York Stock Exchange and other things. The SEC is starting to get really woke and they need to be all be replaced. Our environment is a toxic mess because big polluters and extractive industries control EPA. Wrong. I deal with EPA all the time. I deal with the Nuclear Regulatory Commission and the uranium mining world or uranium processing world all the time. No, the big polluters do not control EPA. As a matter of fact, anyone who pays attention knows that EPA, NRC, BLM have all been basically stifling any extractive industries, and they're all trying to strangle these industries. No, the big polluters do not control these agencies right now. This guy doesn't know what he's talking about. Doesn't know what he's talking about. He's an unmitigated disaster. So, anyway. And Mr. Genius also blames our budget woes on the United States, on military spending. Military spending. That's what's bankrupting the country. Never mind about the 67 to 75% of our budget that goes to mandatory spending, which is Medicare, Medicaid, welfare, Social Security, and managing the debt. But yeah, it's the military spending that's bankrupting our country. This guy's a moron. I mean, he originally came off smarter than this. So the reason why I'm coming down so hard on him is because he's such a disappointment. He is such a disappointment. Because I've heard interviews with him and I was like, wow, this guy's actually coming off as reasonable. But he's not. He's a liberal. And he's the kind of guy who, if he hadn't been squeezed out of the Democrat primary, I think he could have actually beaten Biden or given him a run for his money or forced Biden to dump Kamala Harris and pick him, RFK Jr., as his running mate. So, anyway, thank you very much for your attention. This is episode 22 on the presidential debate of June 27th, 2024. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.